We welcome in our friend Sean McAdam of Mass Live. Hello there, Sean.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Well, I'm trying to recover. I was so overwhelmed by the excitement of trade deadline day. I'm still catching my breath.
Yeah, weren't we all? what's the Shakespeare line? Full of sound and fury, ultimately signifying nothing.
Yeah, it was an interesting approach, to say the least. Hey, those scrappy underdogs. I guess if you're an underdog and you've got your guys coming off the IL, you don't need any help.
Yeah, I found it strange that they didn't do one or the other. As I wrote the other day, Rich, it seemed like they tried to do too much last year and not enough this year. I think they were better positioned to make a run for it this year than they were a year ago. I think they're a better team than they were a year ago. They're in a better place in terms of where they are, from 30,000 feet. When you look at the farm system and the improvements and the steps forward taken by guys like Casas and Duran and Bayo this year, I don't understand taking neither path here, either trying to get better to make the playoffs in 23 or, alternately, sort of giving up on this year somewhat and focusing on being a better Red Sox team in 24 and 25, and somehow they managed to go 0-2 in those categories.
Well, let's talk about a couple of perspectives on it here. For this year, certainly there's a need for some starting pitching when you're trotting out bullpen games every other day, it seems. Now, yes, Chris Sale off on rehab. They hope to get Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock back, but surely there must have been a starting pitcher out there under team control through next year that wouldn't have cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, or even not under team control in 24, even a rental. Whether it's Michael Lorenzen or Rich Hill or some of the guys that did get moved, I can't think that either of those were going to command a top 10 prospect for your system. And if you end up trading away the 17th best prospect, and this guy gives you, 8 to 10 starts over the final 2 months and stops you from having to rely on Chris Murphy continuing to be as good as he's been, or Nick Pivetta in either a bulk role or back in the rotation, seems like that would have been a smart move. And then failing that, get what you can for Paxton and Duvall and continue to build up your system so that you're better fortified for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that was surprising too, that they didn't go in that direction. And there'd been a lot of talk about Alex Verdugo. Ultimately, he ended up staying. Now, he's under control through next year, but do you think he's in their long-term plans going forward?
I don't, and I think that's one of the reasons that we reported that they were willing to listen on him and took some calls and some proposals on Verdugo, none of which apparently they thought were sufficient, and that's fine. But to me, Verdugo represents a bad bet for a long-term commitment. Mm. We've seen now in 4.5 big league seasons that he is inconsistent, that the performance kind of comes and goes, and sometimes so does the investment in what he's doing, whether it's needing Alex Cora to call him out and challenge him to show up in better shape at the end of last season, which, to his credit, he followed through with and had a very good first 2 months. But then from mid-June until just recently, he disappeared. And in part of that span was benched for not running hard on the bases. Does that sound like a guy that you want to commit 4, 5, or 6 years to beyond 2024? I don't think it does. To me, he's an above average defender in the outfield. He makes contact, doesn't strike out a lot, will hit some balls off the wall for doubles. He'll probably finish with close to 40 doubles again, but this is a guy who's never hit 15 home runs in a big league season in 4.5 years. And for a corner outfielder, you should get more run production than that. And, you know, really the numbers only start to tell the story there, Rich. I think a lot of it is, you know, what are you getting attitude and approach-wise? I think there's a reason why they have not been more aggressive. I don't know and have heard no evidence that they've even approached Verdugo and his representative on an extension past 24. I think for good reason that you do wonder what a content and satisfied Alex Verdugo would look like. If you got a guy now who's trying to get their attention, who's trying to secure that long-term commitment, and his play is still uneven and inconsistent, then what would it be like if you handed him 5 years and $100 million?
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown. Trevor Story, very close. Do you think they'll have him back by the weekend? And where will they slot him in the batting order?
Yeah, he will not be there tomorrow, which had been something of a goal for him. He had circled that date as a potential for rejoining the Red Sox and making his 23 debut. But at the very end of his postgame availability yesterday, Alex Cora said that Friday was off the table. I asked if that also meant that it would take off the entire weekend series off the table. He said he wasn't ready to commit to that. All he knew that was that he wasn't going to be there Friday when the homestand begins against Toronto. So it could be as soon as Saturday. It could be as late as, say, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. We know it's close, but it's not going to be tomorrow. In terms of where he hits, I'm going to guess that in keeping with Cora's practice of not putting too much on guys when they come back from a long absence, it's not going to be in the top half of the lineup. I don't think he wants to put any more pressure on Story coming right off the IL, having not played at all since last September 11th, than is already going to be in existence. So I'm going to guess somewhere in the middle, the lower third, maybe sixth or seventh, at least initially. Let him get his feet underneath him, let him get some at-bats together, and then maybe think about where you want to hit him. That could be anywhere from 2 to 5th, frankly.
And what's the timeline right now for Chris Sale, Tanner Houck, and Garrett Whitlock?
Well, Sale's a little more precise because he's at least made one rehab start. He pitched last Tuesday, 2 days ago, for Worcester in Syracuse, and he is scheduled to throw again Sunday in Syracuse. And after that, it's at least possible that Sale's next start comes for the major league team. He pitched, I think, 2 1/3 or 2+ the other day, got into the third. So he had 3 up and downs. That was considered a good first step. I think they'll try to get him, you know, through 3 or into the 4th this time. And even if he's not fully built up the way a rehabbing pitcher who's been out for a while might otherwise be, you had noted, you know, 40% of their games now are bullpen games where you've got an opener and then a bulk reliever. Why not have Sale do his building up at the major league level? You'd rather get, say, 4 innings from him than, you know, Bernardino or anybody else they've been using to open. So it wouldn't shock me if Chris Sale was the starting pitcher for the Red Sox a week from tomorrow night, next Friday.
We look at the standings, and they are 2.5 behind the Blue Jays. They play Toronto this weekend. They've got Yankees, Seattle, and even the Angels right on their back and pretty close. How important is the series with Toronto this weekend?
Yeah, it's big, particularly when, you know, the new schedule calls for you to only have 4 series against your division rivals instead of 6 the way we were accustomed. So they've already played 2. The Red Sox have dominated both. I think they are undefeated against the Blue Jays this year.
Right, 7-0.
Right, and so there's only 2 series left, this one, and then another in Toronto in September. So, you know, when you get these head-to-head matchups, they mean a little bit more because there are fewer head-to-head meetings than we've had in recent seasons. you know, certainly at the very least, you've got to win the series. It's probably getting a little greedy to think that they're going to stretch it to 10-0 and sweep them for the third straight time. But at the very least, you need to win the series, take 2 out of 3 and shave at least a game off that deficit and make sure that by Sunday night, you're closer to them now, closer to them then than you are now. And then, you know, you got to keep after that. It gets a lot easier for the Red Sox on a long homestand here for 10 games where they've got Kansas City and Detroit coming in. The Royals are every bit as bad as the A's, and the Tigers, while not that terrible, are really not playoff contenders. They're struggling to get closer to 500, so they're not a walkover, but again, a team you should beat. You know, this is a important homestand in two different spheres. One is that head-to-head with the Blue Jays, the team that you're trying to catch. So you would hope that if you're the Red Sox, you get 2 out of 3 there. Get, again, knowing how difficult it is to sweep a team, no matter how bad, 3 out of 4 from the Royals, and then at least 2 out of 3 from the Tigers. You know, you have that kind of 7-3 homestand before you go on the road to play Washington, New York, and Houston. And you're in much better shape.
Now, not that we've seen any inclination that they might do anything, but is it still possible in the month of August to get a guy, maybe some pitching depth through a waiver deal?
It is, but it's more complicated now that they have gotten rid of the ability to make waiver trades. It's got to be an out-and-out waiver claim, which a lot of teams don't do. I would say that given that the Red Sox primary need is pitching, that makes it doubly difficult to imagine something happening because there are plenty of teams nipping at their heels, teams like the Angels, the Yankees, all of whom are still on the outskirts of the playoff race that would have first crack within the American League claiming order on waivers. They would have a chance to get out of pitcher of consequence before the Red Sox. It's hard to think that either of those teams would allow anybody worth claiming to get to the Red Sox in that reverse, you know, teams go in reverse order of their record. So there would be the teams trying to catch up to them getting first crack. I don't see anybody falling to them.
Sean McAdam, MassLive.com with us here on Downtown. Sean, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Great. Thanks for having me, Rich.